Playing Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Oh, that was beautiful.
It is cold.
Whereabouts in Tamaki Makaurau are you?
Blockhouse Bay.
Ooh, la la.
Chilly, in a shadow somewhere.
Not yeah, bad. And I think we're in a bit of a dip, you know, so we're one of the spaces that just gathers the cold.
Good mushroom-growing weather, though. I'll tell you that for free.
Thank you. Thank you.
Does that fit in with what we're talking about?
I'll
being
make arancini balls. No, it does not. And some of our spoken word, I got to say, it's a bit cold and grim. I don't know if it's going to warm us up today.
Far out. What a way to start a segment. Well, I'm excited about Travelling Tunes. As you mentioned, we're doing spoken word today. What have you got for us? Where are we going? Who are we hearing from?
Well, this is so weird. So I was inspired by hearing a spoken word piece on a TV show I was watching, and it was the wonderful Gil Scott-Heron, who, you know, is one of the sort of, you know, people claim him as one of the predecessors of rap music. And so I delved into this, and there are a few people that, like, do really spoken word albums, you know, like Only or, you know, like Tom Waits. But a lot of the tracks and what we're going to play today are, you know, artists that would normally sing but have for some reason chosen to do a track that's spoken word, you know. There also were some great tracks that have spoken word elements, you know, like just a chunk. I didn't do those. Like, the best one I came across was the Shangri-La's Leader of the Pack. If you haven't heard it, it's got the best spoken word at the end. She talks about the boy on his motorcycle. So today we're doing artists who normally sing who've done, like, a spoken word track. And, I mean, as you'll hear, this sort of, wow, austerity, intensity is different than their normal singing.
For listening to these, do you suggest we don't talk over the top of the songs?
Yes, spoken word? Yes, I was thinking that too. Okay. Although they're going to get grim, I got to tell you.
Okay, so is that a trigger warning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair warning, everybody, we're going to get a little shot of humanity this morning.
So the first one that you've brought us is Iggy Pop. This is a Machine for Loving. Do you have any backstory for this, Kirsten, or should we just get
God,
into it?
Oh, my God, yes. So Iggy Pop, well, I made a mistake of delving into him. You've probably, like, heard of him, but you have not heard of all the weird...
He's the world's best leather handbag.
Oh, my God, yes. So don't even Google his picture.
It's beautiful.
And
I love it.
His sinewy, deeply tanned torso. But, you know, public self-mutilation, prodigious vomiting skills, slather his body in peanut butter, self-harm on stage. He is just the wildest guy. But anyway, he somehow survived physically to still be with us today. And in 2009, so obviously he's quite old by then, he released this album based on a French novel. And this is one of the tracks from that album.
All right, I'm gonna hit it.
Two weeks after my arrival, Fox died just after sunset. I was stretched out on the bed when he approached and tried painfully to jump up. He wagged his tail nervously. Since the beginning, he hadn't touched his bowl once. He had lost a lot of weight. I helped him to settle on my lap. For a few seconds, he looked at me with a curious mixture of exhaustion and apology. Then, calmed, he closed his eyes. 2 minutes later, he gave out his last breath. I buried him.
Dr. Kirsten, that is beautiful. I love that.
Okay. Wasn't sure where you were going to go. That is, and I was waiting with, like, a breath.
That is definitely a bit of me. Like, I love Iggy Pop's speaking voice so much that it is like an instrument. Like,
that
sounds like music to me, despite the fact that he is not singing.
He happens to have this amazing, you know, obviously lived hard, you know, rode hard and put away wet, as they say, speaking voice.
He earned it.
And it's from this French novel, so actually the lyrics are from Michel Houellebecq. I want to say it correctly. He's the enfant terrible of French literature.
Sounds right to me.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is about a dog that dies, but he gets another one. So it's sort of about love. It's called Machine for Loving. You know, so dog says this sort of endless love. Anyway,
it's definitely poetry, which I was
thinking
about
this
before. Yeah, it doesn't rhyme, but I mean, most music is kind of poetry, isn't it? I suppose.
Well, that's right. So here's one of the core differences: is poetry was written for the page, spoken word is for audio only. Now I know, you know, because remember back in the day, you know, people wrote books of poems and people read them and bought them and shared them, and they were almost like social media.
Back in the day, people were still doing that, Dr. Kirsten. There were still poetry books around.
No, but I mean, you know, like, you know, but before people spoken word became a thing, you know, it, you know, there maybe was spoken word. I mean, I guess there was bards that sort of sang news.
Yeah. The OG Twitter.
So the funny thing I found about this when you sent me the songs was that, like, I'm familiar with all these artists and maybe not familiar with their entire discography, but I've never knew that any of these artists that we're going to play today made spoken word. Are they all full albums? Are they all full albums?
No, they're just like one-off songs.
Oh, right.
And there was actually an abundance of riches. Like, there's a Madonna one where Mike Tyson does a spoken word bit. Like, there's just so many, like, it's more than you'd think, you know, but like you said, it seems unusual. And that's a question I want to ask, is when do you listen to this?
I don't know.
It's not really driving music.
I reckon to unwind. It's like, to me, it's a very swiller red wine that you got for $18, second cheapest at Countdown, in your comfiest chair in the flat. You've done your work for the day and you chuck on some Iggy Pop talking about how lovely his dog is.
I think you run the risk of getting quite existential, though, don't you?
That's good.
Yeah, I think it's wallow. Yeah, it's wallow music. I mean, it'd be good live.
The next song we have is Meatloaf, Kirsten.
I know.
Yes!
Do you want to just have a listen first?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I remember everything!
I remember every little thing as if it happened only yesterday. I was barely 17. And I once killed a boy with a Fender guitar. I don't remember if it was a Telecaster or a Stratocaster, but I do remember that it had a heart of chrome and a voice like a horny angel. I don't remember if it was a Telecaster or a Stratocaster, but I do remember that it wasn't at all easy. It required the perfect combination of the right power chords and the precise angle from which to strike. The guitar bled for about a week afterward, and the blood was dark and rich, like wild berries.
I feel weird.
The blood of the guitar was
This track. Wow.
Red.
I love Meatloaf.
The guitar bled for about a week afterward, but it rung out beautifully.
And when do you listen to it?
When I need to pump my... I mean, to be honest, that one, I usually skip. Because I might be confused. Is that from Bat Out of Hell?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because I have been on this crusade for the last couple of years to try and get Meatloaf his dues. Because I think the man does not, he has never got the respect that he was owed.
You don't think so?
Absolutely not. People crush him down to a joke, some sort of novelty act. He is a powerful and beautiful musician.
Do you not think that perhaps there are elements of his music that bring him a, you know, bring that on himself?
He's got a really interesting and tragic story. And Dr. Kirsten, forgive me if I'm like treading on any terrain of yours. You just jump right in.
Hey, but you're a fan.
I love him.
But yeah, I mean, come on. Of course he's a little laughable. His name, for one thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I do anything for love, but I won't do that for a second thing. But yeah, his acting career, really interesting. You know, Rocky Horror Picture Show, Fight Club.
Yeah.
What a weird career. I read one thing, it says, you know, a pudgy kid from Texas became one of rock's most bombastic stars.
That's absolutely true. As bitch tit Bob in Fight Club, he puts in like an Oscar-worthy performance, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, he does.
He had to lean into the whole kind of humorous thing because he, I think he wanted to be an opera singer and no one would take him seriously because of sort of how he looked. But he's got obviously this incredible voice.
Mm.
So he had to like forge this career all his own just for people to take him seriously.
But then you can hear from that piece, he's got this incredible sort of, you know, the sort of actorial, just sort of, you know, narration and storytelling.
Totally, totally.
We've had a couple of texts in that I would like to read out. Someone's just going back to Iggy. Someone said, Iggy is probably one of the fittest 73-year-olds on the planet. He is vegetarian and has been clean for decades.
100%.
And they go on to say that he does intense physical training.
He'll outlive all of us. But, I will die before Iggy Pop.
Yeah. And then a couple of people, just with some love for Meatloaf, with you.
Yes.
Meatloaf is awesome in the Pick of Destiny movie.
Yeah. Also good.
Haven't seen that.
Jack Black and Meatloaf are a good pairing.
Yeah.
Almost as good as Meatloaf and Gravy.
And then someone else said, if one talks while spoken word is on, then is the spell broken? And I think that's probably fair. It's for lying in the bath, they said.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of debate online, spoken word versus poetry versus hip-hop, you know, and sort of the differentiations between it. I mean, there is spoken word as a, like, cultural sort of hobby group. There's poetry slams, you know, competitions. Spoken word is about message and less about... you know, the tone and the rhyme, which, you know, rap, it fits. It's rap is, you know, is music.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing said rap is a sonnet, spoken word is free verse.
Oh, I like that.
Rap, yeah, spoken word tends to be more introspective. You know, obviously there's some, you know, rap music that is. But yeah, so they call the other thing page poetry. So page poetry and spoken word.
I've never heard that before. Page
Should we
poetry.
Listen to... well, I did... Since you said that Gil Scott Heron track was in the series, did you want to listen to that one or James Brown? Kiss?
Oh, they're both fantastic. Let's listen to Gil Scott Heron. Okay. I mean,
it was in the series that you watched, wasn't it?
Yeah, All right. Was on Lovecraft.
I'll put it on now.
It's called Whitey on the Moon. And, It was inspired by some whiteys on the moon. So I want to give credit where credit is due. That's it.
A rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the Moon. Her face and arms began to swell, and Whitey's on the moon. I can't pay no doctor bills, but Whitey's on the moon. 10 years from now, I'll be paying still while Whitey's on the moon. You know, the man just upped my rent last night, cause Whitey's on the moon. No hot water, no toilets, no lights, but Whitey's on the moon. I wonder why he's upping me, cause Whitey's on the moon. Well, I was already giving him 50 a week, and now Whitey's on the moon. Taxes taking my whole damn check. The junkies make me a nervous wreck. The price of food is going up. And as if all that crap wasn't enough, a rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the moon. Her face and arms began to swell, and Whitey's on the moon. Was all that money I made last year for Whitey on the moon? How come I ain't got no money here? Whitey's on the moon. You know, I just about had my fill of Whitey on the moon. I think I'll send these doctor bills, air mail special. To Whitey on the Moon.
There is a vibe, the legendary Gil Scott Heron. Dr. Kirsten, a great cut, a great choice.
Yeah, it's just it's so stunning. And, you know, you think of now, what was it, you know, people talk, you know, okay, a particular government in the United States talking about a space force when there's, you know, racial rioting on the streets.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Okay, this is it 50 years later? Yeah, it is. 50 years later, and it's just as resonant.
Yeah,
which is
absolutely.
Really sad.
We've had a couple of texts in about stuff, which I will read out. Once someone said, a Gen X here, we've always respected and understood the depths and facets of Meatloaf's art.
That's good. It's just us lousy millennials who missed out on his gifts.
And someone else said, aren't the Beats a big part of this, reading and recording their stuff with jazz and a mentor? I don't know if you know anything about that.
Like spoken word over some sort of stripped down instrumental percussion or...
Well, definitely Gil Scott-Heron, you know, having that sort of jazz bongos. You know that thing of poets with bongos at the club, you know, in the 60s. And then even Iggy Pop, you know, that his album had a little more jazz to it. But it doesn't have to be. I mean, obviously spoken word, like when you go to a slam event, there's no music.
No.
So we're looking at music track spoken word. But, you know, it's quite open, right? Like it's quite an open space.
And then someone else said, I'm not a singer, but I try to listen to that Wear Sunscreen.
Oh, yeah, the Baz Luhrmann track from...
At least once a year, this person. Or twice a year, sorry.
That is such a weird cultural moment that song got to number one. But that is a phenomenal track.
Yeah, it is.
That is really
good. Oh, I don't know that one.
Oh, you'll have to have a listen, Kirsten. It will change your life.
Oh, great.
It's a bunch of life advice and spoken word over this beautiful gospel track with, I think it's like a child's choir or something.
But who's doing the spoken word?
I can't remember who the guy is, to be honest, but they made it for Romeo and Juliet, I think.
Oh, I love that film. Yeah. Okay, so I've probably heard it and I'm just not clicking.
Came out
What are you bringing us next week, Kirsten?
Oh, wow. Okay. It's going to be even spacier. We're doing... Space Age Bachelor Pad music.
Is that a genre?
Oh my God,
Space Age Bachelor Pad.
Yes, it is.
I cannot wait for that. I have messed with like in and around that genre a little bit on Spotify. It is very trippy, very psychedelic. That'll be a real trip.
And it's lovely. So get your martinis and your leopard pants.
I'm counting down the days.
Thanks,
Dr. Kirsten. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.